Savior, come to earth and to the humble goal. Why did choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me. For me, because he loved me so. Amen, amen. I first just want to thank the brothers who led us thus far in our service. Thankful for the songs that were selected, the theme that was also selected, very appropriate for this morning's message, and all that has been done thus far. I want to first just give you a couple announcements. First and foremost, it's good to see Melinda and Daniel Borman. They were just married not too long ago here at Green Bank, and also baptized just before their marriage also. And so it's good to see them back from honeymoon. And look at my hubby Debbie over there. All right, praise God. Amen. Good to see you back. Hope you enjoyed your honeymoon. And also some other news. Brother Marlon, I got a message this morning asking for prayers for Brother Marlon Johnson. He was hospitalized on Friday night, lungs filled with fluid, and his oxygen was very low. Praise God that things are moving in the right direction, but he's still in the hospital at Christiana Care 4E21B, 4E21B. So please keep him in prayer, and if you have an opportunity, give a call or a visit to him at the hospital. Amen. Matter of fact, let's pray for our brother and all those suffering right now. Father in heaven, we come before your throne, and we thank you first and foremost for this day. We ask that you would be with our brother Marlon and be with all of those that are still going through medical issues and situations, Lord. And we just ask that you would put your healing hands upon him and them. Father, we come before you in prayer, thankful for this opportunity to be able to take our cares and burdens and place them at your feet, knowing that you are able, Lord, to do something with them. We put our hope, our trust, our faith in totally in you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for the victory even before we have it. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me. For me, because he loved me so. John chapter 16, verse 33, till John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. We're going to have to go old school today and ask you to open your Bibles this morning. Or some of you say, well, we're going to go new school and open our app, our Bible apps. Either way, it works if it's the Word of God. John 16, 33, into John 17, 1 through 5. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you've given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the one and true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory with which I had with you before the world was. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we pray that your word may be known clearly to us, that we might be able to hear and see and to know the truths that are contained therein, and that we might be able to take the applications and to be able to apply to our own lives. Help us, Lord, as all of us stand in need of something. We pray that you would bless us in those areas that you know we need, and that you would continue to just guide us, that we might each and every day grow closer and closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've entitled this Living to Honor God. Living to Honor God. Many of you know that, and you've probably seen the post, some of you, and the thing, article and newsletter that my sister and I traveled down to Montgomery, Alabama, so I could receive my MDiv degree. And I praise God that it was accomplished, and it was a great time of celebration and all of that. But I'm going to tell you that the journey wasn't without some difficulties. When we were down there, I'm looking around at the area, Montgomery, Alabama, and I don't know if many of you have ever been there, or maybe it's changed since you've been there, but it was a very depressed area that we were in. It was funny, when I was looking and searching where we're going to stay, and I'm looking at hotels, and I'm looking at hotel reviews, and I'm going, it doesn't seem like there's a good hotel in the whole place. And there were some, but it wasn't the money I wanted to pay, all right? But then I looked at Airbnbs, and I just didn't really see something that interested me. And I'm sorry if that's your hometown or anything like that. I'm not really trying to beat up on you, but I'm just giving you the observations that we had. We went to the movies. We said, all right, well, there wasn't really much to do in the town, so went to the movies, and unfortunately, it seemed like I took a step back in time. The theater was a huge theater, but the seats weren't the seats I'm accustomed to. The sound wasn't the sound I was accustomed to. The view of the screen, it looked like we were still back in the 70s looking at movies in the 70s. I don't think there was HD there. It said it, but I didn't see it. Businesses, there were, well, I kind of got in a little situation with our rental car. The tire, we got a flat tire at the day before the graduation, and it's 1 a.m, and I'm on the side of I-85 South, my sister and I on the side of I-85 South, waiting for roadside assistance to get there, and it took them about 2 hours. Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. The next day, I'm trying to go find a tire, because I'd rather replace it myself than let them charge me. And I'm looking online and businesses and looking for the, and they would say it's open, and then we get to the place, it looked like it'd been abandoned for years. And so finally we found a place, but it seemed like the whole area once again was very, very depressed. And I'll tell you what, something that my sister said to me, she said, wow, I really appreciate Delaware so much more. Because she's been one of those, like, I'm ready to get out of here. Sometimes don't think grass is always greener on the other side. Hello. That's another sermon for another day. Okay, all right. But we left our comforts. I don't think I had a good cup of coffee the last 3 days. And when we went to some, I didn't say that they didn't sell them there. But when we went to some of the establishments that supposedly had it, they were closed. People, it was understaffed. And so we left all of our comforts here, and I'm so glad to be back. Thank you. I'm thinking about Jesus. Comfort in heaven. The adoration of angels. The praise that he would receive every single day. And think about Jesus as they're talking about going. Someone's got to go redeem mankind. And from the very foundations of the earth, Jesus already had signed up for this task to come to die on the cross for us, leaving his comforts, leaving his divine privileges, giving up all of that so he can enter this broken, sin-filled world for us. Why would he do such a thing? Well, we just sang it, didn't we? He came because he loved us, because of his great love for us. He would push aside all those comforts to come and be here with us, to desire to bring us back to the Father. You see, Jesus had a mission to bring salvation, and it only came through him. It's been repeated oftentimes already, even this morning. He came to fulfill this divine plan of redemption, stepping into our world, showing us a love and the ultimate humility and sacrifice that's needing, giving us an example of how we ought to honor our Father, our God, through obedience and love. He set the example for us. And in John 16:33, he makes a statement. He says, I've told you these things. And he had been preaching them earlier about so many things. But now he's coming to this conclusion, kind of climactic. And it's saying, I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. He said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He's acknowledging the reality of suffering and troubles that we're all going to have to face, that comes with being in this fallen world that we're in. But he's assuring us also of his great victory. He doesn't sugarcoat it, though. He doesn't say, you know, it's going to be just smooth and easy sailing for all of us. No, he says that we're going to have difficulties that we will have to face. He's upfront about our trials and our tribulations and the struggles that we're going to have in this fallen world. But he provides us this great word called hope. That beyond what you see and beyond what you're experiencing here, there's something greater. And he tells them, look, take heart because I have overcome the world. And the implication is if he's overcome the world and we're hooked up with him, then we too are overcomers in this world. Jesus' victory is a promise for all of us, extending to all believers of all generations, reminding them that no matter what we face, we have peace. We can have peace in him because of what he has ultimately secured in us, this ultimate victory. He says our peace is found in him. Our peace is who he conquered the greatest challenges, including sin and death. And then he comes in chapter 17, verse 1, and he says, Father, the hour has come. Now, this is the great prayer, prayer of Jesus for us, for his disciples, for us, for all believers of all kind. And this great you can just read this whole chapter. I'm only going to really deal with the first five verses. Maybe I'll pick up on some on next week. But it starts off here. He's praying for us. Jesus' prayer. The Lord's. Really, this is the Lord's prayer. I know we call the other prayer the Lord's prayer when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. That's really the disciples' prayer, is it not? Because they came to Jesus and say, and they're asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw John and his disciples praying, and they come and they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus gives them this the model prayer. I like to call that prayer the model prayer. That's the model prayer. But this is the Lord's prayer. This is Jesus getting down on his knees and acknowledging and talking to the Father, and we get a chance to witness a prayer that Jesus prayed. And the humble thing is that we're included in this. That he loved us so much that we're included in this prayer. And he starts out, Father, that the hour has come. Honor your son might honor you. Honor your son, that your son might acknowledge you. First of all, he's acknowledging this appointed time, also dealing with his purpose. He came here for a purpose, and his purpose was for a specific time. And oftentimes, we remember so many times, even the very first miracle in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus makes a statement, my hour has not yet come. And you'll see that repeated often, but now there's a significant change. There's something different in what Jesus is praying, and he's praying, no, Lord, now my hour is here. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what the world has been waiting for. The time is now. He declares this significant shift, the culmination of his earthly ministry, this start of this final act of redemption, the fulfillment of prophecy and the beginning of Jesus' sacrificial journey to reconcile humanity to the Father. It was now near. But Jesus not only acknowledges the hour, but it demonstrates also his unwavering determination, his submission to the Father's will despite the coming suffering. See, this wasn't an accident. Jesus absolutely knew what was in store for him. And I want you to kind of put yourself in this predicament. You are on death row. You're on death row. You've been on death row for 20 years. Now, if you've been there that long, there are some times where you've probably pushed off the fact of the reality of what's coming. And so we'll push that off. And then, however, there's a reality that one day the hour has come. And I want you to put yourself in there. They are now calling your name and calling your number to come. Hey, listen, if there is a moment, if there is a way of escape out of this, governor, please give me a pardon. President, please give me a pardon. Somebody help me out in this hour, this moment that I recognize right now. Listen, if the bar's open and there's nobody around, maybe, just maybe, you will take a run, at least try to get out of that situation. However, Jesus, he knew what he signed up for. He knew the pain that he was going to have to endure. He knew the suffering that would have to take place, that had to take place. And now he's saying, look, my hour has come. This is the time. This is the culmination. Everything that I've worked for, taught, preached, and miracles and all that, all of it was leading to this suffering. He doesn't escape it. He doesn't try. He recognizes the reality and he submits himself to it. Verse 2 and 3, then he says, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those that you have given him. Now this is eternal life that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, in these verses, they reveal once again the scope of Jesus' authority extending over all people. His divine authority is being used for the purpose of granting eternal life to those that the Father has entrusted to him, to those that would finally come and realize and recognize who Jesus is and decide to follow after Jesus. Jesus explains something about it. I need you to see this. He says that in verse 3, that now this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, whom Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I want you to understand that this about knowing Jesus here and about knowing the Father here, this isn't just an intellect, hey, I understand and acknowledge there is a person named Jesus. There is a God. No. He's not talking about just this casual understanding of who Jesus is. He's talking about an intimate relationship of knowing Christ. You know, I don't know if I want to use that example, even though it's biblical, but it's not going to be. Knowing him in the Bible, I guess I already threw it out there, so knowing him is a great intimacy, sometimes even shown between husband and wife, right? And I guess that is a great example. We are the bride of Christ. There's an intimate knowledge that we have of God. There is a connection that we have with God that far surpasses just words on a page of a book. No, we've got to know Christ. We've got to know God. And this is an experiential, this is an experience that we have with him that far goes beyond just pages of book and knowledge and studying and understanding, you know, things about him and all of that. You can know all about God. There are people that don't even believe in God that know a whole lot about him. But what he's calling us is to this intimate relationship with him. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. We have to, as branches, still stay connected to the vine if we are going to accomplish anything. Jesus continues. He explains the essence of this eternal life, knowing the Father and knowing Christ, this deep closeness with the divine, this close relationship. And now we get to this part I just really love in verse number 4. He says, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. You know, this really sums up his earthly ministry here. He's acknowledging that he has brought glory to the Father by doing what? By completing his assignment. Listen, God has something for all of us. The Lord has something for all of us. He has something for all of us to do. And unfortunately, there are many, even let's just talk about this journey of walking with the Lord. There are many that start that journey, but don't go to this completion. You know, Jesus talked about four types of hearts and the seed that fell on four type of hearts. One of them fell on the wayside. The ground was compacted. It's the seed that came and it fell on that compact ground. Some of the seed fell among the thorn, among the rocks. And so there you had this ground, but with really rocky soil. And so seed fell, it sprouted up quickly, but soon when the sun came up, it scorched it and it died away. Then you had the one that fell among the thorns and it started growing up, thorn bushes, but yet the weeds started to choke it out and make it unfruitful. But then there's that seed that fell on good ground that produced a great harvest. And that's the desire that we have to be that type of seed. But the reality is that, take a look at it, Three out of four weren't in good standing. They weren't that good fruit. They weren't productive. With the Lord, there are many that'll come and to start. You think about the rocky soil. The rocky soil says that at a moment the seed sprouted up quickly. I was talking to Rick earlier. Rick said he's got some plants, and so if you need some tomato plants or some pepper plants, he's got some for you. All right. But if you ever seeded these things, sometimes it's just almost miraculous the way they sprout up. You can take a piece of a paper towel, put some water on it, put some seeds on it, close it up, put it on the windowsill, and all of a sudden, one day, 2 days, growth. But you leave it right there for a while in that same place, it's going to die off. It'll sprout up quickly. But that's the thing, that we're here. Jesus didn't come for a temporary thing just to feel good about coming down. I'm going to do a few good deeds for the people and be on my way. No, he came to bring his purpose to fruition, to complete the task that he was given. And while it was hard, while it was tough, while it had a whole lot of issues and problems and trials and tribulations with it, he came to complete his task. And he says, by doing that, I've brought glory to you. He's honored God, the Father, by completing his mission. It's interesting also, if you look at this, while Jesus is preaching this, or praying this rather, he's still alive. He's still alive. Was his task really done yet? That's a question. Was his task really completed? Y'all scared because you're like, oh, hold on a second. I want you, he's speaking as if it's completed because in his mind, it's already done. Let me tell you this. You have to have a certain mindset. If you're going to complete a task, there's a certain mindset that you can see it before you see it. You can have it before you have it. It can be done before it's actually done because in your mind, you have already determined it to be so. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. I know I'm preaching this morning. He's already determined for it to be done. And so here's the task. And here we are on that journey. And there are many that start that never finish. The commencement speaker spoke a little bit on that. If you heard the message that was given about starting something and bringing it to its completion. So many start. Few finish. Now that might be all right if you're going for a degree program or a job or that, but that is not going to be good for us if we start this Christian life and don't see it to its very end. Because the implications of that are not something that none of us here want. Jesus said, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. Finishing is so important. I look at Philippians 1:6, where it says God will complete this great work that he started in us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 2 Timothy 4:7 says that I have finished this race. I have kept the faith. Revelation 21:6 says Jesus is the Alpha, the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. We need the beginning, but don't forget that we've got to get to the end. And in between all of that, trials, tribulations. But the glory is received at the end. The glory is received when we hear it's not only at the end, along the way also, we're continuing to point the glory. But that rejoicing that happens at the end. Think about being in this triathlon or great Olympic race or anything, and the sacrifice that it takes to even start. And then the race starts. Right? You had to sacrifice. You had to hurt yourself. You had to deny yourself. You had to do all those things before the race even started. And then the race starts. And then you start running. And then you start running, and then you get tired, and then you hit that wall, you hit that proverbial wall, and then you have to figure out, do I stop, or do I slow down, or do I keep pushing through this? And then you burst through it, and you continue going, and then you get that second wind, and all of a sudden, somehow, you just, you see the finish line for a far off, and you finally get there, and listen, many times, you see them people at the end of that race, and as soon as they get past it, boom. Some of them are dropping on the ground. But victorious. On the ground, but victorious nevertheless. It was worth it. It was, there's not going to be one person hearing these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in few things. I'll make you ruler over many. There's no one that's going to be saying, going, that's all. I don't need all that. No, you want your arm raised. You want to hear your name called. I want to be able to rejoice with the Lord of the sacrifice that we've made all through this life. Why are we here? Why are we sacrificing? Why are we giving our time? Why are we giving of our money to the church? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing it? Why? I am expecting my name. I want to hear my name. Oh, anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Well, if we want to hear our name, there's a lot we're going to have to go through. He says, I finished the work you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You know, he's going back to that time. And now this is actually going back to the moment where he left glory to come here. And now he's looking back to glory. I'm going to receive. I'm going to sit back on that right hand of your throne. I'm ready. Now, after all this is done, he's going to be received back to the right hand of the Father. Hey, after we've gone through all of our suffering, after we've gone through all of our pain, after we've gone through all of our sacrifice and sometimes doubt and sometimes, you know, I tell you all the time, you've seen this before, this is success when it comes to the Lord. This is success when it comes to the Lord. We have our highs and our lows, our ebbs and our flows. We have our moments, our mountaintop moments, and we've got those valley experiences. And there are times that whenever it happens that we are tempted, some are tempted to just deny the Lord or to walk away or to find something more comfortable for ourselves rather than continuing in this arduous walk that some of us want that escape. And so we try to find new escape. But listen, don't forget, this is how we get to heaven. Mountaintops and valleys, mountaintops and valleys, mountaintops and valleys, and don't stop walking. Keep moving forward. Keep looking toward heaven. In those low moments, Lord, I lift up mine eyes to you. Where come my help, Lord? In those mountaintop moments, I'm looking to the Lord, glorifying him, rejoicing in all that he's given me. But let's not forget that any one of those, the tops, the mountaintops, and the valleys are all temporary. And we're waiting. We're waiting for the eternal. We're waiting to be able to be called home. We're waiting for the comforts of heaven that are coming. And you can only get it by going through some stuff here and by continuing to stay with him and persisting to the very, very end. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you recognize and realize that it's time. It's time to put your arm, your hand in his hand. It's only through what Jesus did on the cross that we will ever be able to have salvation. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. We're not holy enough and can never be made holy in and of our own selves. That's why we need Jesus. Will you surrender to, we started this whole worship service with surrendering to Jesus. Will you surrender to him? Because of his great love, are you ready to turn to him and follow him? If you're in one of those weak moments right now, if you're in one of those valleys, don't be tempted to walk away. Hey, this is par for the course. This is part of the Christian experience. This just is what it is for being and living in this fallen world. However, God has something greater in store for us. He's overcome it so that we too can be overcomers. If you're ready to put your arms and your hand, your life in Jesus' hands, you do that by surrendering to Jesus Christ, by repenting, by turning to Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached this great gospel message, sharing with all of them that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah that they were waiting for. And it says in verse 37 that they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted by his message. And after being convicted by the message, they said, what do we need to do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, this promise is for you, it's for you, all your children, for all who are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. So you know what? That includes all of us. Everyone seated right here. If you have not made the greatest decision you will ever make in your life, you can do it today. Come surrender. Come submit to the Lord. Come in baptism, and he will wash away your sins. Acts 22:15. He wants to restore you once again. I don't know where my thing is. If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing this song.